Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. So, welcome to another show of Spiritual Activists. Today we're going to be talking with Cal Washington. And he is with the In Power Movement, and that's inpowermovement.com. And you know, when I first heard him talking, I realized that there's something about this guy that's a little bit special, and I think a lot of us are out here right now being spiritual warriors, because this is a little bit of a war. We don't like to call it that, but we're up against some obstacles that's been put in our path for many, many centuries. And with the help of people like Cal and many others, we're starting to uncover the truth behind the system. And that's the fact that it's an illegal system, corrupt. It's actually fraud. If I would do anything on a personal level that the banking system does or the court system does, I'd be arrested immediately for fraud. In fact, people are arrested for doing the same exact thing. It's just a Ponzi scheme as far as the Federal Reserve goes. But what we're talking about today is a way to circumvent the normal system and go into another system that deals with us as spiritual beings. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky, but the system itself is actually pretty easy to understand once you get into it. And if you go to his website, InPowerMovement.com, you can download all of the contracts and all of the information. So let's hear from Cal. Okay, well, today we're interviewing Cal Washington from InPower Movement. And Cal, I know this is really a complicated, complex subject, but I also know it's very simple. If it's put in simple terms, can you give just like a basic foundation of what this is about and what you're trying to accomplish here?
Well, what we're trying to accomplish is to correct the implied contracts that we're all in. And the opportunity has come up that it can be done because of the way that they are implementing their agendas. So they've kind of left a wide open door in order so we could do a big mass action in their venue or in their system and the system into a default if they don't honor their own system. That's the short version.
This is where it gets into the fact that they use the tacit agreement.
Yeah.
Like when they came out and put a smart meter on my home, I didn't agree to it. And when I seen it, I had them take it off. I said no. So, but as long as you don't say no, they assume that you're saying yes, right?
That's correct. This is where it gets interesting. Yeah. this is where you have to understand that there is an underlying jurisdiction that is operating above all the other jurisdictions that we think that are here. And because they've kind of kept us in a bubble while they're operating in another bubble above that. And it's all, once you see it, it's all in the open, but they don't tell you. So you're not aware of it. You can't see it because you can't see it. So we both. Okay,
tell me if I'm.
Go ahead.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. Okay, we have the normal. We have a civil court, right, based upon precedent cases.
That would be common law court. Yeah. Precedent
common is law? Common law court. Okay. Now, what you're talking about is on top of that, right?
Yes.
And that is where we get into the merchant law area.
Yeah. So
is there another? Go ahead.
Yeah. There's more. It as far as I can tell, I think the jurisdictions go on indefinitely.
Yeah. The reason I'm asking is I was listening to a guy. His name is Robert Steele. And he set up a tribunal court based upon something like this, because according to some law that was written back in the 1600s in England, if you're part of state or if you're part of religion and you're charged under this system, if you don't respond, you're automatically guilty. So he's going after pedophiles and child molesters and priests and state representatives, all kinds of people. And it's a serious matter. And what makes it more serious for them is they're not taking it serious. And at some point, it's going to creep up on them that, oh my God, we're dealing with another system of law that supersedes everything that I'm used to. Is this the same area that you're working in?
Well, it's not based on that. I've never heard of that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's that similar situation where there's a lot of ignorance about what's going on. The very, you know, I see it as a pyramidal structure, their structure. And at the top, when you get closer to the top, they all know that this is how it works. It's the people at the bottom are kept in ignorance. And then depending on your trust level or whatever, they bring you up in the knowledge. So most lawyers don't know about it. It's not taught in law school. And the reason why is because it's not taught in law school. But when you really just simplify that, law school is a place where somebody else sets the curriculum. And once you pass the curriculum, then you're considered a lawyer. So whatever's not in there, they would just disregard. So that's the problem. They're spoon-fed the information, and they're not aware that there is any other information until they become a judge. Then seems like they go to another school and more information is downloaded into them.
Yeah, it seems like it's that way. It's in every academic circle, like talking to John Anthony West and people that were out of the archaeology mainframe. You know, they were able to go out, Graham Hancock, they're able to go out and get archaeological evidence that goes way beyond the academic archaeologist. Right now, I'm working with Doctors Against Disease because, see, I'm right above Paradise where that big fire happened, burned out everything. So we're starting a center, and I'm working with these doctors, and they're telling me that in the academic part of medicine, they're not really taught too much about nutrition and supplements and minerals and, you know, anything that has to do with chronic illness. They're terrible at it. Acute, you know, if you break your leg, they do pretty good.
Yeah.
But chronic illness, they're out of there. And it's the same thing with lawyers. They are funneled into this academic, rigid framework to the point that some of them, if you talk to them about new information, I swear, it seems like they don't even have the neurological network to understand the concepts that you're talking about.
No, but a few of them have been educated, and because there is, like where I live, there's some pretty strong evidence of, you know, some of the issues that we have here, and I can point that out. And then in other areas, I can tell you a little story that we were helping a fella who had written a screenplay, and he sent it to I won't say the name, but he sent it to a major, major film producer. Well, that film producer went ahead and made the movie, and it was a blockbuster. Everybody knows, if I said the name, you know what it was right away. And basically stole it. There was also a very large, one of the old studios involved, you know, one of the old Hollywood studios. So we did this process similar in Law Merchant, and they said, you know, what court is this in? This is all bunk, blah, 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 blah. Sent them, you know, kept the process going, then showed them inside the UCC Act in California that, yes, you are in a tacit agreement. So they consulted a couple of lawyers in England. I think they came over to America and said, you're in default. There's nothing you can do. Start making offers. So even some of these, and so when you lawyers at that level are, you know, you're dealing with a top producer and a top Hollywood studio. You're not a beginner. You're an established law firm. They didn't know, but they got schooled very quickly.
Do you think this is what's going on with judges? Like I was watching a YouTube. This guy, he got a ticket for fishing without a license. He went to court with his family. They videoed it. And the judge kept asking him to, could you please say your name for the court? He says, I'm not that person that you're looking at on that paper. I'm a free living human being. It got to the point after 5 minutes that a clerk came out, whispered in the judge's ear, and the judge just left really quick. And I heard what you said about a judge that you were dealing with too, that actually ran out of the court. It seems to me that the reason they're running is because they know if they get interacted with this system, it could start a whole cascade of things falling down, because that would set a precedent case. And that's the case law that they seem to work under. Is that right?
Yeah, but partly, I think in that case, that sounded like somebody was not owning up to the merchant that they created. They turn us all into merchants using the birth certificate. That's the key that you got to understand. And therefore, once you're a merchant, then they can use merchant law on you, and they just don't tell you that's what's going on. But you have to actually agree to the game in some way, because they're not allowed to touch men and women, sons and daughters of Adam. And so that's the thing. They have to trick us into it. And so that guy was probably saying the correct words, and his state of mind was probably had more to do with it than anything. And they couldn't get him into that box. And that's probably where the problem was. So in my case, I went, because I tried all that stuff and it just didn't work. I just kept getting arrested and, you know, psych exams, all that stuff. And so what I did was learn how merchant law works. And so, yeah, if you're going to make me a merchant, then I'm going to use merchant law, and I'm going to use it against you. Well, it turns out it's to my advantage to know that, because merchant law is based on the truth. So the truth always prevails, and they're always in the lie. So I win every time. Every time. They cannot come up with an affidavit of truth. They can never do it. Here in Canada, they can't even show me where there's a country. Like, show me where a country, where the country is. Like, how is it formed? What's its authority come from? It's not here. It was taken away a long time ago, and I show that as well. So what replaced that? And they don't have it. And when you start talking like that, that's when people just don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, you're talking way too much truth, and they just leave you alone.
Right. It's not worth the it's like a can of worms for them. Once they open this, really open it, and this gets to be public knowledge, that little things like when your parents sign your birth certificate, it's a birth certificate. A birth is where you park your boat. It starts at that very instant of birth. And here we are today under a system that most people don't really understand. But I tell you, that contract that I read the whole contract and watched what step by step as you went through it, it's really laid out really well. And it puts them in a position where they have to respond. Otherwise, tacit agreement sort of applies to them in reverse.
It's exactly what it is, because it's their offer. So it's like, if you put your house up for, like, if you list your house, whether listing, you're bound by that listing. Like if somebody said, if somebody comes to you with an offer, like a, and says, I will take your offer, like you're at your price and no subjects, you can't back out of it. You can't go, no, I just don't feel like it. It's you're bound by that. So with subjects, you can have, you know, you can choose whether you want to take that subject offer or not, but, or counter offer. But it's, if somebody comes with your full offer price based on your listing that you put out there in the public, you are bound. And that's the key, right? So what we've done, and you know, as far as them, they've made us all merchants. And so with this 5G and the, even the vaccinations and definitely the smart meters, they're commercial endeavors, all of them. So they fall under commerce. So you can use commercial means against them. If it was the government putting it in, there's a whole other, you know, there's another level of that you have to deal with. But these are obviously commercial. It's you know, Verizon and AT&T and, you know, it's that's who's doing all this stuff. So it is a commercial endeavor. And because they've made us all merchants, we can use merchant law. So it's like the perfect storm right now to actually bring the system to its knees.
Right. It almost reminds me of Building 7 at the 9/11 event. Building 7, they went too far. I mean, you have to be a moron at this point to think that that building came down suddenly because of an office fire. Unfortunately, there's a lot of morons running around, but most people are waking up to that. And this could be the one that they took a little bit too far. And they could actually be questioning that at this point. But now we've made them a little bit desperate. I really think when you say them and they, you and I know who we're talking about. It's like the cabal, different names, but they're against the wall and they're losing. You know, like the first time I saw you, I think what people like you and I have that they don't have is the first time I saw you and heard you speak, I could tell something that I know David Icke mentions this too. We're protected in a mysterious kind of a way that they will never understand. They don't have the genetics or something. There's something there that doesn't allow them to see that there is a connection, like right now between you and I. We're like on Zoom, we're up in the internet, but we're looking at each other's eyes and we can tell that there's something very sacred about relationships. And we're actually trying to make our lives better. We're not trying to have an agenda where I want something from you or you want something. We're trying to help people and they don't understand that. And it's making them nervous. It's putting them in a position to where now we have to really be careful too. It's like getting a snake in the corner. You know, we have to be careful at this point and take it really easy, you know, because they're going to pull every single trick out of the book.
Yeah, they're in a frenzy at this point, and but none of it's working. It's coming undone as faster than they can put it together. Put it that way. They're desperately trying to hold on to this paradigm, and there's nothing they can do about it. And as far as the protection, I know David Icke. He was in an interview. I can't remember who it was, but he asked David Icke about why haven't they taken you out, and his answer was they can't. That's right. It. That's all he said, and I knew exactly what he was talking about. There. If you read in the book of Job, there was a man, I don't know if you know the Bible at all, but anyway, there was this man and he was, God was boasting about him. And so the enemy came and said, well, yeah, that's because you've got a protection around him and you did all this. But there was agreements made where he could test him and okay, you can do this to him, but you can't do that. There was always a limit. And that's at this point in time, there are a bunch of people on this planet, if it is a planet, who have a job to do. And they are protected completely. There's nothing. There's nothing. It's it's like written in stone, like the sun's going to come up in the east and that's it. Like we can be, you know, meddled with, but not taken out or are seriously harmed. There's limits.
Yeah. I sometimes have to look at that too, because where we live right now, there's no cell phone towers. I'm hardwiring everything. I'm trying to take down the EMF waves. But if you drive down my street, which is a country road out here, within 5-6 minutes, you're in the middle of a war zone. Paradise was 14,000 homes were just taken out in a Thursday morning, just bam, like that. And it came up pretty close to where we live, but then it all of a sudden stops, you know? And I can't really say it stopped because of me, but it seems like I've always been able to be at the right place at the right time if I'm there for the right reasons. If I'm there for the wrong reasons, which has been the case sometimes in my life, and I've learned my lesson, but as long as I'm in the right, you don't have to say too much. Like if I tell you 2 + 2 = 4, that's all I have to say. But if I say 2 + 2 = 5, now I have a whole array of twisted logic that I'm going to have to use to prop that up. Now I'm going to need lawyers to try to prove the point from different perspectives and bring in physicists and all kinds of things. But the truth will truly set you free. Yes, the truth is so simple. And once you put it out there, I think it was Mark Twain said that the truth can be a pesky little thing. Once it's out there, it just keeps on eating away at all of the lies.
Yeah. It's like light. You can be in the total darkest place down in the bottom of the earth inside of a steel welded shut thing. But the minute you light a match, darkness is gone. Like it can never overcome the light. Like it's not possible. Once light is on, that's it.
Yeah.
Light is on. Darkness cannot.
And you can take that to another step too. You can be out in the sunlight and have a box that's complete darkness inside and open the lid. It doesn't make everything dark. Nope. It doesn't exist.
No, exactly.
In the face of light.
Yeah.
So, Cal, you ready to take this into another jurisdiction, you might say? I wrote a book called The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems. That took me into the biblical writings, the Vedic writings, the Upanishads, the Mahabharata. And then that got my interest. Where did this come from? And it took me back into the Sumerian tablets, the clay tablets, and the Anunnaki, all of that. So I have a pretty good understanding of all of that. What I hear you talking about really shows signs of advanced beings being involved in this somehow, and a very ancient platform of dealing with life and spirit. But what would you have to say to that?
Yeah, this is an ancient problem, and it goes way beyond this plane or whatever this is we're here in here. The stories in the Bible, you have to kind of read them with an open mind and try and figure out what, you know, everything that's gone on. And one book as far as this plane is the Book of Enoch, which was taken out of the Bible. That, well, in most cultures, it's those that fell from the sky bred with those that were here. But in that, it's the sons of God bred with the daughters of Adam. And that created chaos, which then had to be destroyed with a flood. And then Yeshua said it would repeat itself. And so what you saw at Noah's time is what you're going to see at the end. So you can know what to do and how everything is just a repeat of a smaller story. And the story, you know, at the deepest levels is I'm here, I go out, I get into some like darkness, slavery, that type of thing, and I come back. It's just a move like this. So it's right from the very source of God. That's what He's doing, and so everything is a reflection or a fractal of that. And so when you read the Bible, you can look at the nation of Israel as yourself, as your own journey, and you can see that's what's going on in my life, and I've got all these personalities, and I've got all this stuff going on, and I got to get rid of that part of me, and I got to follow this part of me, and you know, all that stuff it's all in there. You just got to see it for what it is, right? And so that story in Enoch talks about another race, a humanoid type race, that was formed because of something that wasn't supposed to happen. And it's in my opinion that the offspring of that is what we call they, and their time is up because they've not come around. They've not.
Yeah.
They don't want to follow God. They don't want to follow the right way of doing things. They want to be in total chaos, total self-absorption, murder, pedophilia, you know, all kinds of genetic modifications and fiddling around and trying to be God. And that's what's going on. That's where we're at right now. And that's our issue. It turns out that apparently we are the ones who decide.
Yep. And a lot of what you're talking about right now is starting to sift through the academic world too. I've been talking to people like Greg Braden. He's a scientist, a good friend of mine, Bruce Lipton. He's a microbiologist, basically made them rewrite the biology books with epigenetics, a word that he came up with and everything. They were telling me what's happening in that realm is not quite reaching the public yet, but it's actually in some peer-reviewed journals. Like, for instance, you and I, we have 46 chromosomes. Apes have 48. Well, how could that be? What they're finding out is when they're doing these genetic testing, going back through the mitochondria and really looking, somewhere in our past, someone has taken 4 chromosomes and spliced them together. And they actually went in and redesigned some of the overlapping functions so there wasn't any redundancy. And they had to do something to the telomeres too to make this match. When they did that, we went from 48 to 46. So there was something there that was actually done in a lab too. And that mixed in with the fact that every culture on this planet talks about people that came down out of the sky, landed on our planet, showed us how to build sewer systems and water systems and plant and set up some laws, the Hammurabi, you know, laws, and all of this all over the planet. It's either, if that didn't really happen, it's the most strangest thing I can even imagine. That's even stranger, that everybody on the planet would hallucinate the same thing and find it so important to mark it down on scrolls, paint it on cave walls 40,000 years ago. So even the religions, I see the religions starting to position themselves, especially the Catholic Church. They're getting ready. You know, the Pope said that he would be fine with extraterrestrials coming here and him blessing them and, you know, forgiving them for their sins or whatever. But they're trying to position themselves because they know when this breaks, or if one of those motherships shows up in that day, this whole world is going to change. And I think what you're doing is a sign of setting the stage in the legal realm of starting to deal with all the problems that are going to pop up, because there's going to be so many problems. And the other thing I was going to ask you about is, I have a lot of friends that are talking about, some people call it Gesara, Nasara, the RV. Do you know anything about that? Is there like some kind of positioning of what you're doing that could be getting people ready for? Because remember back when the Jews were enslaved for 70 years, supposedly? Well, when all that came down, they were supposed to get all that gold and silver back. Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah. So we're that's a story in Daniel, and Daniel was a guy who was kind of with it and looked through a bunch of books. It's really, the story is subdued for, on purpose, so you don't get the full scope of it. But it looks like to me he was able to figure out that this term was supposed to be 70 years, the slavery term, and they were passed. So at some point on a certain day, paperwork went back and forth or whatever, something happened. And one day they were slaves, the next day, get them out of here, help them build their temple and give them all the gold out of the treasury. It was just like, bang. And so that's what we're, I'm sensing that that's what we're about to go through again. And so we've followed that model. And it had, when that happened, there was part of the edict was this matter is before the watchers. And so we have that verse out of Daniel right in our document. And it's the watchers that could be what you're talking about. And because I'm open-minded enough to know that they could be anything. Like it, all I know is, all I can tell you is when I started putting the watchers in the documents and even words like archangels, I got different reactions. I could tell, especially if I was sending to like, you know, United Nations or the Queen or really high sort of people that don't seem to have any oversight. You know, like who oversees the United Nations? You know what I'm saying? So there is nothing apparent that I can see. But when I would write about that, the knee-jerk reactions were very swift and phone calls were made very fast. And within days, a police officer is phoning me and canceling a court case, right? So I was like, whoa. Like this archangel thing has really spooked them, because that's pretty much all it was, right? A declaration. And I said, I'm doing it in front of some archangels. And I went, because everything we were doing was trial and error. And I went, whoa, okay, there's something, you know, I had a belief in angels, but it was sort of a, you know, fairy tale-ish, you know, like just sort of a, you know, they're out there somewhere and maybe they come here once in a while and, you know, but this, I could tell this was imminent. Like they were present and dangerous. Like it was like, bam. Like, that's when I started to really look at the whole idea of archangels and that they are probably more present than what is apparent. And they could be in spaceships, all that stuff. It doesn't really matter. What matters is they're here. And we can access them if we do certain tasks, and that's it.
Yeah, so sometimes I'm not really what you would call a religious person, especially seeing what organized religion has come to.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that feel this way now. If you're being honest with yourself, you can tell something's gone awry, probably back in 325 with Josephus and that whole council where it was taken off into a different direction, married with state and religion, all that. But the closer I get and the more deeper I get, and this is what it fascinates me with what you're doing, is because I see the little taste, the little whiff of something almost like a fight between good and evil. It's almost like Earth has actually become a battleground where if there are eight archangels, they've drawn a line in the sand, because I see, how would you call it, a spiritual sickness in humanity. I don't see it so much inside myself, but I can see it a little bit there, you know, a little bit. And I see it in other people and organizations and, well, like the Boys Club or the Catholic Church. I mean, what person in their right mind would say, hey, let's start a religion and not let them have any sex and suppress all their sexual desires and put them with a bunch of young kids and see what happens. And that's a total magnet for pedophiles. Total. You might as well just put up a big billboard and call them in. And that's what's happened. The United Nations, Red Cross have shuffled people around. The human trafficking wouldn't exist in some parts of the world if they weren't implicated in helping. There's a movie out called The Whistleblower. A woman, she was a police officer, went over there to donate her time and seen this madness. And really, it was tough to uncover it because everybody involved from the lowest levels right on up to the administration was involved in it, because it usually takes a woman to do this too, by the way. Men were a little bit weak when it comes to sexual enticements, you might say, you know, and they find these people, implicate them, and now they're blackmailable. So all of these institutions really have to be exposed and probably collapse to some extent, because I don't see any other way. But that sickness runs deep in humanity. I know I've talked to Bruce Lipton, was telling me about 6% of the population has a genetic markers that makes them different. And that difference is they are sociopaths. They lack the ability to feel compassion or empathy, which allows them to do things that you and I could never do. Matter of fact, it never even enter our minds to do, but they can do it so easily and sit around a big, huge $100,000 oak table and plot and scheme with other people and laugh about it. And it's all okay. It's part of their game, yeah. You know? And this is where they've had the edge until now, because people like you and I, we don't want to talk about this right now. We'd rather be talking about spirituality, ways to increase our consciousness, you know, ways to grow really good food, raise families and kids. But we have to start talking about this. Good people have to start stepping up and looking at this stuff and dealing with it, because this is how they're getting away with it. Because people like you and I, traditionally, we just sort of sit back and say, oh, no, I can't think of this. It's just too dark, too bad. This is why we have to be, that's the reason my radio show is called Spiritual Activist. We have to be spiritual, but we have to take action with one or other, that not together, it's ineffective. So I really admire what you're doing, Cal. I've been wanting to interview you for a while. Because this is the aspect of you that I think really needs to have more light on it. This isn't just about the nuts and bolts and how to do the why. The why is so important, and it goes deep into the human soul.
The why is what you know, my whole thing, whole journey, everything is about contract. And even the watchers, I can surmise, I don't have a copy of it, but they're held back because of an agreement. Right. And we are the key to unlocking, defaulting, whatever that agreement. And once that's done, they're in. They just can't.
Yeah, it's curious too. But what you're saying right now, it shows up in so many stories and mythologies, like Dracula can't come in your home unless you invite him.
Right.
The devil can knock on your door, but he can't come in unless you invite him. And in the Bible, it says all you have to do is turn your back on him and walk away. There is something about this that is written into the very fabric of our existence.
Yeah. Well, so what's happened, just generally speaking, like you said at the beginning, we have bought into the system and are participating in it and therefore agreeing with it on all kinds of levels. They've just set it up that way. And without people even being overly aware of it, because of the way they're doing the smart meters, they've opened up to totally uneducated people can actually just do sign your name on this document, and they're and it's because of the way their system works, they are automatically on the side of no, I'm not agreeing with this anymore within their system. So it's actually I agree if it's a conditional acceptance. And if you just take just the smart meter thing itself, that can be extrapolated into all the other levels because we're all multi-level. So once we do it on one level, we're doing it on all these others. And it's written right in the document that that's what's going to happen. That's what scares them. We cannot literally have uneducated, totally spiritually, low level. I don't know how to say that, but move into something very powerful, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, what I would like to do also is I've been working pretty close with Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, interviewing him. We had lunch, but he's sort of stuck in the court system dealing with PG&E. He's suing him on negligence, borderline criminal negligence, you know, but I'm dealing with the people here. I'm opening up a center. It's called the Lotus Guide Center for Healing and Information. And as these homes start being built, it would be nice to implement your contract with the people here and make them aware that they do have a choice. Like in Butte County, where I live, you can still say no. You can opt out legally. But it's, you and I know it's only a matter of time where they're going to force that back in on us. But right here in Paradise, this has been, if you want to wake somebody up from a dream, you know, go into their bedroom and shake them and start screaming at them. That'll wake them up. That's what's happened to 14,000 families here. 14,000 families are on the street right now going, what the hell just happened? And the more they're realizing that it was possibly on purpose. I mean, you can get into the directed energy weapons and all that. I haven't researched it, so I don't know. But a lot of this was at least, at the very least, criminally negligent. Criminally. I mean, they knew this was going to happen. PG&E put in a huge, huge base camp about 4 miles down the road from Paradise, 6, maybe 7 weeks before the fire. I mean, this place was massive. There were so much lights there, it would light up the sky at night. When the fire happened, they rushed in with all their brand new equipment, fixed everything, and now they're gone. So you have to ask the question, if they knew that this fire was going to happen to the point to where they spent millions and millions of dollars putting in a base camp only for that situation, and now they've left, well, now they're building another base camp out in Nevada City. So you have to ask, okay, is Nevada City next? And that's what they're asking. But the point of this is we have a window of time while people are a little bit disturbed and awake to sort of get this kind of information to them. And I want to plan on doing that and playing some of your interviews when I hold meetings at the center. Do you see anything wrong with that?
No. You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I might want to get back in touch with you if I have questions or something, but this could be a very good test area because it everything has been reformatted, like your computer. It's completely reformatted and it's ready to start putting the programs back in. And I think as we start putting programs back in, if we do things like this, we can make people like PG&E highly disturbed, because for one, this sort of pierces the corporate shield in a way. I can see where this could be used to go after individuals in PG&E, like the director, the CEO of PG&E, he sits on the board of Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds has controlled our energy systems for a couple of centuries. I mean, it's them that's drug us into almost every war by using their banking system to support and then pull support. And, you know, so this is a good opportunity here to, for maybe you to keep an eye on too, because this is an opportunity to start from a dry, clean slate with a lot of people that are going, what the hell do we do?
Well, they can do the notice. It's, you know, we're way behind them as far as, you know, speaking battle tactics or anything. But we can catch up very quickly. And what we have is very powerful. And there's not much they can do about it because they're operating in commerce. And you can't.
Right.
You have to obey the rules of commerce. And if you don't, like those, you know, some of the people that you just talked about or beings that you talked about, if you don't, then your system itself is on trial.
Right.
And that's before the watchers and higher. So they're in a no-win situation. They either have to take the meters down, yeah, or pay these people, or the system comes down. Choose your poison.
Yep. And what you're just saying right now, it sounds so simple that it escapes a lot of people.
Exactly.
You know? But it's sort of the hinge key. Once you pull that hinge pin out, you have to do is push on the door.
It's like a house of cards.
Off the hinge.
Yeah. There was a seer. There was a seer that saw me under the structure of the pyramid, and she said it's hollow, like it's really imposing looking on the outside, but it's hollow inside. And you've gone in there and you've dragged the whole pile of beings with you. You've snuck them underneath, and all you got to do is pull a couple cards out. The whole thing comes down, and they don't even know you're there.
Well, and stop and think about it. They built a system that is destined to fail, and they had to know that. That's probably why they're trying to get all the gold and silver that they can, yep, because they know the money. They're not out after the money. They just print that up. But what they've done is they've built a commerce system built upon consumerism. Consumerism is totally dependent on resources, and resources are limited. So they built a monetary system that has to infinitely grow based upon using a system that is getting finitely to the point to where it's causing everything to be disrupted. And, you know, if fuel prices, everything is dependent on energy. Like most everything we do, most of the cost is energy. You know, that's the reason they want to control the
energy. Yeah, but there are so many free energy technologies out there, and part of the problem, I think the main problem with the money system is it's based on debt for the most part. It's a debt system,
right?
And almost all the currency is borrowed into existence, which they print out of nothing, and then they want that principal back plus interest, which is not printed. So it doesn't exist. So how do you pay the principal back plus interest that's not here? Like, because the only available money is what we borrowed, so it can never reconcile. It's a paradox, and if they keep going, you know, if they just allow the debt to keep going, that's why the debt keeps going up, because you have to borrow more money to pay the interest on the debt, and you're still not getting to the principal, and you have to keep, you know, you just have to keep borrowing more money, which they print out of nothing. So if they kept this thing going, a three-year-old would be able to see it, because the numbers would be astronomical, and you would just go, there's not that much money on the planet that we owe. Like it would just become obvious what's going on. But so they have to always correct it or have a war or something, right? Just to keep us in this illusion. But it's really a flawed system like that. It's a debt system. It's backwards.
I don't know if you've ever listened to the Iron Mountain Report, but the Iron Mountain Report was something that was put together by 15 think tank individuals in the early 60s, and they wanted to know what the world would be like if we lived in peace. And they basically said that we can't, because everything is designed around war. War is what defines national boundaries, sovereignty, commerce, energy, everything. So these morons really think that we have to be in a constant, perpetual state of war to hold our societies together. And that's not the case. It's not the case, you know?
Because the problem with that statement is there are no countries. That's a fabrication as well. So if you're trying to hold to a country, yeah, then you got to have war. But we don't have, like, the planet doesn't come with countries. I give the example of the bird that lives here. It's called the Canada goose. It flies south every winter and then flies back north in the summer, you know, migrates. And it doesn't check in at the border. It doesn't even know a border exists. And yet, if I'm in my car and I have a goose, dead or alive, frozen in my car, I'm going to have armed people saying, you can't do that. And yet you can have a goose flying overhead at the time when somebody's pointing a gun at you, get that goose out of your car. That's the insanity of it. That's the truth of the matter. It doesn't exist. It's a fabrication. And they just got a bunch of people believing in it.
Yeah.
They make us sing songs right from when we're early, recite a bunch of, you know, poems and all that stuff about national and all that stuff. They have an Olympics every 4 years to solidify it. And we all get our colors on and yay, yay, yay for our country. It's all by design, but there are no countries. I can tell you the that we're talking about don't believe in countries. They don't, to them, they don't exist. They're operating way above any idea of a country or its laws.
Yes. Some of them are probably even beyond Earth, you know, but that would get into a very deep subject there. Yeah. I think as we start waking up, and I know I see things, and when I'm trying to talk to people, it's difficult not to be patronizing, because I feel like I'm talking to like a little 5-year-old about something that's so basic and simple. Yeah. You know, I was listening to Joe Rogan once. He's doing stand-up comedy, and he's pretending like he's a 7-year-old, mildly mentally challenged kid. And he's being told the story of Noah. And in the beginning of the story, the kid goes, wait a minute, how big is this boat? You know? And it's like, how big would a boat have to be to get two of everything on the planet on there and then have the boat come down and put the elephants over here, the kangaroos over here? I mean, looking back, I'm sure the kids in school are going to go, oh my God, you know, I'm glad we finally made it through that. That's just like so insane to believe most of the things we're believing in. Like if you and I would develop this financial system that we have, we'd be arrested for fraud. It's a Ponzi scheme.
The whole thing's a Ponzi scheme. That's every time somebody gets arrested for having a Ponzi scheme, I'm going, the whole thing's a Ponzi scheme. You know, I don't even understand how they can. It's kind of insane. But what they've done is they've made it possible for them to do certain things and other people can't. And that's just how it works. So you can't do, you know, conversions unless you're a bank. And so only the banks are allowed to do certain things. And they create a law, and you know everybody goes, oh, it's a law. That's it. Okay. So, but how I kind of liken the government is, if Al Capone was in government, what would it look like? And he would make laws saying, we can have gambling, and we can have the numbers racket. We'll call it lotto. We will run all the liquor. We will all these things that Al Capone was doing, the government now does. The lotto is the numbers racket. And they used to, you know, go around and sell numbers and then split the pot with the winning number. That was called, was illegal.
I've noticed that you've already graduated to the point where you're calling it the government. People still call it my government. But it's not our government anymore. I think, just to get bluntly truthful, I think the minute that bullet went into Kennedy's head, that was a coup, and we lost our government. It became this other monstrosity that was so smooth and so taken over but so obvious now that now we have to deal with it and try to get our government back. You know, if there is such a thing.
It was there before, because Kennedy even alluded to it in some of his speeches. I think he was probably the last president that was unexpected.
Right.
I think he got in on his looks and the way they marketed. And he wasn't the chosen one.
It's when he talks about the monolithic conspiracy around us, it went over most people's heads.
Yeah.
And I sort of think the same, there's a possibility. I mean, you can't say anything about Trump unless people think you're totally for him or totally against him. I think Trump is so embarrassing, and he's an idiot a lot of times, but I think he's trying. He might be the demolition guy. He might be the guy that's just narcissistic enough and just pathological enough to get so entrenched that it would disrupt and dislodge the system, and it will fall down like a house of cards.
Yeah, it's possible. But I have to laugh at that. You know, it's like you have to be pro-Trump or dead set against him. I've never seen anything like this. I tried to talk to one woman because she was definitely anti-Trump. I don't want to speak to you if you have anything to do with Trump. And I'm not pro-Trump and I'm not against Trump. I'm just like, whatever. I just said, you know, you're taking an extreme and you're buying into a certain mindset, and I don't think it's correct. I think the media is putting that out there so that there is this weird dichotomy, and you're buying in, and it doesn't matter which side you're buying in on. You got to step back and like, no, you know, be yourself and not be anti-Trump. And she got just really angry, and I was like, wow. And you're a Trump lover. Yeah, I said, you won't see anything pro-Trump on any of my postings. I don't say anything about Trump, nothing. Like, I have my ideas about it, and I'll talk in private, but you won't see me pro-Trump or anti-Trump. I just think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a YouTube with Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. He's talking, he says, okay, I'm going to say something now, and it's the only thing I'm saying about Trump. I'm not for or against. I'm just saying that he did something good when he signed the paper giving the 9/11 survivors some money, finally. He says, but I'm not for him. I'm not pro-Trump. Doing his little comedy thing, you know.
It's so bad when you have to be like that, you know, like, whoa, I don't want to get shot, you know. Yeah, it's really funny.
Well, our time is just about up, unfortunately. Would you like to say something in closing? And maybe we can do this again, too, and take this even to another level.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. Just go on our site. If you feel led to help support in a financial way, we are trying to build something.
What is your website?
It's called empowermovement.com. And there's the videos there that I think you talked about, and you can kind of see what we're about a little bit. And we're involved with something that is way bigger than me or anybody else, like our group. We all know it, and we're just trying to follow that. And, you know, there's an unseen hand that's putting together a lot of things that, and when I look at it, I'm the type of person that I can see very patterns and I can see potentials and all that stuff. I'm just one of those kind of people. But what I'm seeing is very elegant, very powerful, and way beyond anything one man or even a group of men could put together. And I'm already living in the positive part of where this is going, and I have no fear of any of all the, you know, all the gadgets that are going up and all that. I just look at it as desperation from a very desperate group of beings that are, their time is up.
Well, I'm going to do my part in helping you get the word out there, Cal, because I truly think you're doing something pretty amazing. And it's one of those things, it's like a monkey wrench that you can throw into the cogs in the wheels. The monkey wrench doesn't look like that much, but once you throw it into the machinery, watch out.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right, Cal. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.